So we open to Psalm 133, which is what we sang this evening, and is a nice overlap and parallel to what we had for our call to worship. Psalm 122, we've often brought those psalms together on various times of revisiting the subject of the church and the unity of God's people. I won't touch upon it in the sermon, but I would remind you that Philippians, we left off in chapter 2, and I'm really hoping to get there soon in the evening again. And remember, there was such a call in Philippians chapter 2 to have unity, to humble ourselves for the sake of the unity of the body, and to deny ourselves for the sake of others, and put the interests and needs of others above ourselves, just as Christ did, with the mind of Christ and by his example. So have that in mind. I won't touch on it. I am intending to have this be briefer and a devotion-like sermon, so we can go do what it's going to talk about, have some fellowship, enjoy some food together. But have that in view, Philippians chapter 2. Psalm 133, verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me read that again. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, again, I offer up this meditation, if you will. I do intend it to be a sermon, but more devotion-like. I offer it up tonight on the occasion of our beginning to return to our Sabbath evening food and fellowship after evening worship together. It's been a long time. I don't even know how long it's been, but it's been well over a year, which is kind of hard to believe. And of course, we've had some opportunities for fellowship together, mutual service together, though in some restricted ways. And as things have opened up, outdoor, I think it was 4th of July barbecue at your house, right? But it's been quite limited. We used to get together after evening worship every single Lord's Day. And it might take a little bit of adjustment just to work back to that. What we're planning on is to be meeting outside for now once a month and start to work our way back to it and enjoy fellowship together. So because it's been a long time, as we try to follow the COVID restrictions, it's been a while, but we've just been talking as a session, how can we kind of ease our way back into it? And we thought moving tables and chairs outside every Lord's Day evening might be a bit much for now. So once a month is what we're looking for. Outside, of course, don't need to wear masks. And outside, it seems that it works within the rules and we can take advantage of it. But we kept thinking about it because it's so important. And it's such a blessing. And it's a significant way that the Lord would use to keep us together and to keep us growing together. You know, when you get to go outside after a long time cooped up indoors, when you get outside, right, or so refreshing. I can't help but think about what we joke about when you let the dogs out after they've been cooped up all day. the children, the toddlers, they finally get a chance to get outside and play and run around together. It's so refreshing and reinvigorating. I remember one movie, Tom Hanks in the terminal. He's been in the airport, 6 months? And it's kind of funny how he could have walked out any time, but it's a funny story. But it's such a touching scene. It almost makes me cry. It's just so beautifully done where he finally steps out into the New York winter air with some light snowflakes blowing, and it hits him, and it almost hits him like he feels it. He walks out, and he just, the fresh air, you know? And again, if you think about the kids or the dogs running outside after being cooped up, they're playful. So going outside together tonight after a long time cooped up indoors with limited fellowship together, may it be that way for us tonight. It should be. That's how it should feel. And may the Lord bless it to be that. May we go outside together tonight. And as we sit down together tonight and enjoy fellowship in a way we have not been able to for quite some time, may we just be, it is good to get outside in this case and back together. See, God's people love spending time fellowshipping together. I give that to you as the main idea in verse 1, although I recognize its greater context. Nonetheless, God's people love spending time fellowshipping together. The context, of course, is corporate worship. It's talking about, it's a song of ascents. It's particularly about going to church, particularly about going to worship the Lord in the temple. But of course, we do that together, right? the kahal in Hebrew, the ekklesia in Greek, the church, is the called out ones, but it's not just called out from the world, it's particularly in view, called together to worship God together in this world. And that does include fellowship meals, maybe not exactly always in worship, but sometimes. You know, the Old Testament ceremonial sacrifices, they were always offering up animals and significant portions at times were at least to be eaten by the priests in fellowship together and families. But beyond that, there was a variety of seasonal festivals. You know, we've been preaching through the Pentateuch. We've seen a lot of that. There's a number of different seasonal feasts that God commanded, prescribed for his Old Testament church to keep together fellowship and food. Of course, we can think of the main one related to the Festival of Booths and the Festival of Tents and Feasts, but the Paschal Feast, the Passover meal. That was a dinner. Right? It was a quick dinner. It was meant to be, we're moving on quickly, but it was a meal. It was a fellowship meal of remembrance afterwards. And of course, one of the main sacraments that we have every Lord's Day morning, the Lord's Supper. Right? At that time, it was the Last Supper. But it continues. We go into 1 Corinthians 11, for instance, and it talks about having the Lord's Supper with how to go about it. But it would seem towards the end of chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians, it seems to me there's also a discussion of a broader idea of fellowship meals. Some of you are not waiting for the others or you're not sharing your food. I don't know. I have to look at it more closely, so forgive that I haven't done close exegesis. But it would seem that there's, you know, there's just this regular gathering together for meals beyond just regular worship. But I think also of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which reads like this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So these are the main things the church should be involved in. And again, I recognize that this is really dealing with worship primarily. The breaking of bread be the Lord's Supper, apostles' doctrine, the teaching and preaching, prayers. I think fellowship can be pretty much just related to worship. But notice that word fellowship. There is that word fellowship that often says related to the Lord's Supper, we shouldn't be having fellowship with demons. But there is this idea of, it's the Greek word koinonia, sometimes translated communion. 1 Corinthians 10 also speaks about when we're having the communion service, is it not the communion of the body and blood of Christ? And that Greek word is the same, koinonia. It's fellowship. It's a gathering together. It's a being together. And notice that the early church, when they were doing these things, it goes on to say in verse 47, what was happening? God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, fellowship and recognition and belonging is so much of what it is to be a Christian. I was listening to a lecture today while I was rocking our little one by Carl Truman. He was talking about why this great change in our society. He's looking at a lot of the roots of the big changes in society related, you know, not only talking about, but explaining really what seems to be behind things like identifying as a woman when you're a man, different things like that. And the homosexual movement, and a significant aspect of it is an identity, but related to that is a sense of belonging. Recognition and being loved and received and belonging in a group. Love, there should be no better place. There should be no more significant place. There is no more significant place than the church for that. Sadly, sometimes churches just become a place you go in and out of, listen to a sermon, you go home. I'm thankful that we have all kinds of fellowship events in our church. You know, if you go to our new website, if you look at, I thought to myself, this says something, this communicates something. If you scroll over the different tabs, the longest one by far is the fellowship tab. All the different events that go down, it shows how much we care about getting together and having fellowship and family together. And I remind you that though there are a number of reasons people come to our church, the main reason they stay, the testimony that I hear, is this: the people. There's something special about God's church. And we're not perfect. We got all kinds of problems. But yeah, that's called family, right? You know, you work with each other. You love each other. You work things out. And it is an accepting, receiving, loving, committed, loyal group of people in Christ. To this people group in Christ. And we're always welcoming more. And that's what it should be like. And may the Lord bless that as we go outside, as we try to invite people, as things improve. May the Lord bless us with our fellowship as much as with our other things. And may the Lord indeed add to our church. And may we have opportunities for more fellowship, not just discipleship and especially worship, but also may the Lord grant us a lot of growth just because of fellowship, of being together, of supporting one another, as we do when we're in the hospital, whether it's for some kind of illness or for a birth of a baby. You know, we're here, we're there for one another. Again, worship is the context of this psalm, but there is a really lovely relating in informal gatherings with food and fun that I think we should really recognize as a benefit of being the church as we get together to have our worship fellowship again this evening. We get a chance to catch up, get a chance to share more intimately. We get a chance to know one another better and express we are family, just like family reunions in the park. I'm not saying we all have to come with the same T-shirt, you know? But maybe that's not a bad idea. But, you know, you get together as a family and you just celebrate being together and people recognize that's some kind of family over there. May the Lord see that with us. May we see it in one another tonight. For instance, it's good to come to worship, but we are limited in our ability, even afterwards, as we like to linger and talk, we're limited to really catch up and know what's going on in one another's lives. It's much more possible as we sit down together and have a meal together and slow down and are able to say, hey, could you pass the ketchup? And by the way, how's the work going? You know, or, you know, what have the doctors said so far? You know, you have a chance to just learn more about what's going on in each other's lives. We're busy. We have all kinds of things going on. And having a chance to sit down and fellowship over a meal is a real blessing. And this psalm expresses the dwelling together to be like the reconciling, anointed priestly work in the temple, uniting us together in Christ. Look at verse 2. He says how good it is when we dwell together in unity, and then he makes comparisons of what it's like. So he uses the figurative tool of simile. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. What? Like, I don't know about you. I don't think I would have thought to say, our unity is like your pastor's beard. You know, why is he talking about this? Aaron and his beard, the oil running down, the anointing, the priesthood. What is the work of the priest but to bring God's people together through the blood of the sacrifice, to reunite us to God and reunite us as a people with one another? It's the ministry of reconciliation, which is the ministry of Christianity. Right? Christ is the true high priest, and he, through his priestly ministry, and he was anointed to do it by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he brings us together with God, and the same thing, when he brings us together with God, that brings us together as his people. So when he talks about the unity of God's people, it's like that oil. You know, you see the oil in the beard, you recognize the anointing of the priesthood, you recognize that God has provided a way to be reconciled with him through sacrifice, through the priestly work of bringing God's people together in worship, to be accepted by him and to accept one another, to be forgiven by him and to forgive one another, to have him forbear with us, so to forbear with one another. It's such a beautiful thing. How else can you really have it? Then he says in verse 3, it's also like invigorating mountain morning dew. And I was hesitant of how to word that. There's a couple of different kinds of mountains and dews I'm not trying to refer to. But what he's talking about is just this fresh, you know, you wake up in the morning in the mountains and there's that dew upon the ground, that fresh, you can walk with it. You ever do that? Walk in the morning in the grass with your bare feet. I know some of you couldn't stand doing that, but I love it. You know, just feel that fresh, cool water. You could almost drink it, you know, grab it, cup it up and drink it. It's so fresh. The air smells different. He says it's like that. It's like when we get together and have fellowship in the Lord, certainly most primarily the focus is worship. But of course, when we're together, it's natural we'd have eating and fellowship as the church always has. It's like waking up in the morning, opening up the cabin door or zipping up your tent and open your tent and taking in the beautiful morning. It is a refreshment after a tiring, hot week of work. after, you know, maybe you're not getting to be in the mountains, you're in the deserts or you're in the jungles of whatever life has before you. And to be able to just sit down and be with your brethren is like getting to wake up and having that fresh morning dew. Verse 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Notice that as well, beloved. Worship around God together as his people. That's where the Lord gives his blessing. That's why we should desire to be with the Lord for worship on the holy day. Whatever Satan shoots at us to try to trip it up and stop it, you know, when we are together, it is a blessing there. That's where the Lord particularly blesses his people, where his people are gathered to worship him together and have fellowship together. And that's what heaven is. People from all tongues and nations gathered around the throne and of the Lamb, worshiping him. Freed, saved from all the sorrows of this world. Completely untethered by all of the difficulties and pains and sorrows and effects of sin. Can you imagine? And we can have a taste of that as we get together and talk about the Lord. Don't we need help talking about the Lord? Don't we need help, you know, resetting ourselves and encouraging? So much scripture says encourage one another in the Lord, right? Work with one another, help one another. And we don't get that out in the world. We don't get that from others. We get that from one another together as we gather in fellowship. And it is refreshing. I can testify that there's plenty of times I feel like I'm barely racing across the finish line to get to church, you know, as a minister with work, but just also a big family and all kinds of things. And in this case tonight, a sick baby who it looks like he's doing better now back there. Yeah, is he doing a little better? Más o menos, we're waiting to see. But I don't know about you, but I can often feel like I was reminded of a Super Bowl years ago, two teams that's down to the wire. And at the very last moment, the guy runs and stretches out. And there's like a picture like this. And he's like this short of making it, and they lose the game. You know, I can often feel like that, you know. But you get here, and I can often feel like, oh, that, trying to get here. But I always walk away refreshed. Whether it's Wednesday nights or the men's studies or when we get together for fellowship events, I can often be distracted with whatever I got going on. But when I'm there, and then when I go home, I'm refreshed. I'm refreshed by your fellowship. I'm refreshed to be with my brothers and sisters in the Lord and love on one another and just talk with one another and eat food together and go home and have been refreshed in fellowship together. It is a blessing, and that's what this psalm is saying. May it be for you and me as we reconvene our evening fellowship after worship tonight. May it be as we for now do it monthly and outside, and may it be that witness for those passing by. May it indeed be a witness to those walking by, driving by, possibly smelling out their window, as we at least tonight are going to have fun with kicking the rust off of our barbecue. May they watch us dining in the lawn and listening to Christian music from the sanctuary's outdoor speakers and say, you know, I don't have that. I would like to have that. May this happen that others may come and sit with us and fellowship and be drawn into the church, because it is called the family and household of God. This side of eternity, we are not claiming to be perfect, but we are the family of God. God is our Father. We are his children. May they be observing our obeying Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. It is simply pleasant, the psalm says. Dwelling together in unity as God's people with God's brethren is pleasant. You see, it is pleasant to be present. If you'll excuse me having fun with alliteration and rhyme, it is pleasant to be present. And it is good to be gathered with you all, to sit down and eat and recreate and relate. I do think it'll be appropriate at the end of the Sabbath as the sun sets to let our little guys wiggle out a lot of energy, run around in the lawn. The Hebrew word for dwelt or dwell, when it says how pleasant when we dwell together in unity, it can be sit. It could be sit. So we will be sitting together, reclining outdoors, and enjoy a barbecue in the fresh San Diego evening air. How good is it? How good is it to return to it? You know, it's funny, as I look at my words, I actually wrote it out about five or seven O's and all capital, G-O-O-O-O-G. So, of course, I start thinking of Mr. Renner. Who I'm looking at, and he's like, he's beaming. His face is a big, big smile right now. And as Rachel said this morning, boy, Mr. Renner seems especially happy right now. And when we were driving in, my wife said, oh, he's so cute. He's walking around. He's got everything set up. I said, yeah, because we're going to have a barbecue. But of course, you know that why he really is so excited about it is he's having a barbecue with you, right? He loves to be with you. He loves the church. And the barbecue is just an opportunity to get together. It is especially good to be together with one another. Man is not meant to be alone. We are the family and household of God. We worship together and we eat together. We sit and we relate with one another. And it is wonderful. One good opportunity among many things, such as the Lord just keeps giving us open air witnessing opportunities and is doing things with it. But another thing of all the ways that we're trying to follow Romans 13 and submit to God, working with the issues with COVID, one of the good opportunities is it has given us the opportunity to appreciate what we had and what we are going to have again. It's not that it has been gone, but it has been different, and it has been limited. And so we have an opportunity to sit down together tonight and, you know, masks off, open air, and just get back to what we've had for so long and enjoy it. Remember, our gathering for fellowship meals is a foretaste of the great supper of the Lamb in heaven. How many parables speak of Christ's return in metaphors of a wedding feast? I know some of us, that's like the last place we want to go is a wedding, right? You know, or not maybe the wedding's not so bad, but I don't have to go to the reception, do I? Well, let's just recognize that the Lord speaks about these. My understanding is they're much longer and involved than they are now, but this idea of gathering together, celebrating families coming together, being united. So often the Lord speaks about his return as a wedding feast. Joy. His first miracle was at a wedding feast, right? Fellowship. Being reconciled and brought together in a world that is divided and broken. In a world where the family is often attacked and destroyed. In a world when we talk to many people, we find there isn't family. Wherever we come from, whatever our situation, right here, beloved, we have family. We have the family of God and the opportunity to fellowship together. And we really want to be with one another. And it's really wonderful. And a lot of people don't know anything about that. And it's just God's grace to us. But let's, as we sit down together, let's just really appreciate as we ease back into it. I know it's a little extra busyness. I know we may get home a little bit later. But boy, the week is busy, isn't it? It can be difficult to remember to call somebody or check in on somebody or share what's going on in your life. We have the opportunity to sit down together and look each other in the eyes and talk and show love. And enjoy food. I mean, that's going to be nice. Don't get me wrong. That'll be great. Let's enjoy some good food together. It's funny. I guess I shouldn't do this digression, but I always joke, the way to mommy's heart is baby clothes and food. This lady likes to taste different kinds of food. But isn't that a blessing? You know, my grandfather often said, forgive the digression again, My grandfather often used to say, there's something amazing about having food together. It could be a funeral. It could be a wedding. It could be a birthday. It could be an anniversary. There are so many different occasions, some of them sad, some of them happy. But there's something about gathering together over food. There's something special. There's something pleasant and good about it, isn't there? And it's just the way that the Lord has made things. As we return to evening fellowship, may we say what the psalm says. Behold. Take a look. Take a look at that. May we be able to just step back for a minute, as sometimes I do, whether it's my family, sometimes with the pastor of the church, and just say, behold. Look at them enjoying themselves together. Look at the blessing that we have to be together. I appreciated Ms. Cervantes' response to the email when I sent out a reminder, because frankly, I'm sorry to say, I forgot that we were doing this. I've been so busy and distracted. Thankfully, some of you reminded me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I better send out a reminder. And Ms. Cervantes replied back, oh, yeah. And that's what the psalm is saying. Woohoo! We get to get together. Psalm 122, I joyed when they said, let us go to the house of God. Certainly and primarily for worship, but also for the fellowship. Also for the being together and koinonia love. May we return this night and say, behold, and may the world indeed witness our unity and our love and our forgiveness and our forbearing in Christ as his body, as his family, as his household, that they may come and experience one day with us and say for themselves what a blessing it is to sit down and fellowship together. And beloved, that's the message for you this evening from this psalm as we get ready to go out and eat some hamburgers and hot dogs together. Behold, what a blessing it is to sit down and fellowship together. May we look and talk back to one another and say, what a blessing it is to sit down and fellowship together. Okay, I know what you might be thinking now. Well, let's get on with it then. Let's do it. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God in heaven, we do so thank you for the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, the family and household of God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our Father, that you have made us brethren, language of close, intimate relations, and an unbreakable commitment. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be family because family doesn't quit on each other. Family communicates and works together. Family moves forward and holds hands and loves through thick and thin. Lord, we recognize many of us have our own experiences where our family isn't too close or where we don't really have the blood of Christ as our family relations, and it's different. And we thank you, Lord, that we have one another, that we have a family in Christ, that we have people who want to eat with me and want me to eat with them. We have brothers and sisters who want to hear how we're doing and sometimes just are happy to sit next to each other and watch the children play. We do thank you for food. We thank you for our daily bread. We thank you for giving us a more than competent portion of the good things of this life, and we ask indeed that we would enjoy your blessing as we eat and commune. We pray, Holy Spirit, you work within us a special fellowship tonight. We pray you protect these monthly fellowship gatherings from the attacks of Satan, who is going to try to stop everything we try to be, bring back or renew or move forward with. He doesn't want us to have fellowship. He doesn't want us to behold the blessed beauty and unity where God's blessing is, including life forevermore. So protect us, Lord, from division, protect us from attacks, protect us from ourselves. And let us indeed count others better than ourselves. Let us indeed consider the interests of others above our own. Let us humble ourselves like Christ and with the mind of Christ for the unity of the whole. And we do thank you, Lord, indeed, for the unity of our brethren and the fellowship we will enjoy in worship, of course, most importantly, but also in life. For heaven will be full of worship, but it will be eternal life. It will be together. Let us taste of heaven more together this evening. And we do thank you, O Lord, that you do not let us go hungry. We remember the Psalm 37 that says, I have never seen the seed of the righteous go without bread. Lord, we just pray you cause us to be truly thankful as we have so much. And we pray that you would indeed bring Donna by and bring her in and let us love on her tonight and let her experience she is made in the image of God. And would you make her a child of God maybe even this evening? We pray for all who are here tonight that we would experience the embrace of Christ through his body and the Spirit. Lord, where else would we be? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and you are the bread of life. And we do thank you that your body is the church. So we gather in fellowship, and we pray for your special presence, and that it will be pleasant to be present for us. We pray in Jesus' name, and all your people said in fellowship, Amen.